So it's good to be with you guys tonight, and it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do a little teaching short on baptism, and there's a reason why there's rusks here and a cup of coffee. Don't worry about that. You'll see now. And but before we start, let's just open up in prayer. And Lord, we just want to thank you for this beautiful thing that we see in the Bible called baptism, where each one of us, as we come to Jesus, where we can come and lay down our lives. Where what you've done for us, Lord, that we just want to follow you in everything. And Lord, tonight, as some of the children and even some of the adults are doing it tonight, Lord, that each one will know in their hearts, and even some people that might be sitting here tonight that has been doubting about it and thinking, well, I don't know if I see it like that. Maybe, Lord, that you come and teach them concerning all things. Holy Spirit, I'm not the one that's here to convince them. You are. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, the interesting thing is, and I'm going to look right at the end. I'm actually going to look at one example in the Old Testament, but I want to challenge you as you study maybe a little bit on the Old Testament that you can most probably find about 12 incidents in the Old Testament that points to baptism. 12 in the Old pointing to it. So which is really interesting. I'll look at one just a little bit later, but before we start or get into it, I want to ask, what is baptism? I think a lot of people have heard really good teachings about it, and maybe some of you have been baptized, maybe some of you have been baptized as children. There's a whole lot of things. I don't know who's sitting in front of me tonight, but I want to bring a biblical account. I want to bring it to you what the Word says that baptism is. And the first thing that we see, and I think so often we get it wrong, and I know it's semantics when we say that it's baptism. Usually in Afrikaans you say, dis die groot doop of die klein doop. Who's heard that before? Can I dispel that little thing out of your heads? It's not about being big or small. It's about believers that get baptized. So my child is now turning 10 this year, and she's getting baptized tonight because she's a believer. Not because it's a klein doop of a groot doop. Okay. It's about a believer. And believers get baptized. So let's turn quickly, just 2 Corinthians, a few verses that we're going to look at. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, if you're born again, if you're a born-again believer, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And that's really what we show, that the old has died. The old is gone, and the new has come. So that's the first thing I want to say about baptism. It's a believer's baptism. The second thing I want to say about baptism is this. It's a physical act. It's not like I have been baptized in my head. No, you've been baptized. It's a physical act, and it's expressing a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual truth that we live, but we're expressing it. Something has happened on the inside, and I'm showing it on the outside. That's what baptism is. In Romans chapter 6, maybe let's read from verse 1 to 6 quickly. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Certainly not, Paul says. How can we who died to sin still live in it? We're dead to sin. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore. See, there's the symbolism. None of us are physically baptized, but that's what it signifies. The symbolism is the death and the burial and then the resurrection. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What I've just read in 2 Corinthians. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self, Paul speaking, he says, our old self was crucified. We didn't go to the cross, but what happens is we die in that pool. We leave the old person behind in the water. Old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. That's what we're showing. That's what we're doing. And we say that we share with Jesus in the fact of his death and resurrection. So when my child makes a declaration, and the children tonight, you say you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. But not just only died for you, he was also resurrected from the grave. He's no longer dead. After 3 days, he rose from the dead. And that's what you are declaring. Obviously, we are not dying for our sin as Jesus did. But we make a public testimony, and that's the beauty of this, is the public testimony or the public declaration that we are ourselves are saying, I want to be like you, Jesus. And I want to follow you in all that you've done. Not just parts of it. That's why it's a command. You'll see that a little bit later. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a command. It's a full package deal. You read the book of Acts, you see that people got saved, they got baptized, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. Yeah, but what about the guy on the cross that was next to Jesus? Well, what about the guy? He's in paradise, so what about him? But I'm sure if he could get off that cross, he would get baptized as well. But he was baptized really into death. Proper. For realsies. He literally died. So he was like the only guy that really experienced the real death. He was literally crucified with Christ. So, if you were thinking of that. Anybody up for that? Okay, let's go to the... Get baptized then, rather. Like Jesus died for our sin, we are symbolically dying to our sin. We say, no more. And as we go into the water, each one of us, and are completely covered. Guys, it is important, and there's a lot of... We try to get as much water in there, you know. To be completely covered, it actually signifies the burial of the old sin nature. And that's what it symbolizes tonight. The old man is dying there and the new person is coming up. And this nature is then left under the water. And the person is then symbolically raised up to a new life in Jesus Christ. And what we declare, what we say, what we confess is that we will be his follower and his disciple forever. That's what you say. When you come out of there, you say, I want to follow you with my whole life. Paul writes this very much like what he wrote in Romans. He says this in Galatians 2 verse 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. See, there's an old I. That's the first I that you see there. The old Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. And then he goes on, he says, it is no longer I. It's no longer Paul, the old Paul that's alive anymore, but Christ who lives in me. Now the new Paul says this, and the life I now live, the new Paul that came out of the waters of baptism, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our declaration tonight. That's what you say. That's what you say. I don't live anymore. I'm dead. So, moms and dads, please record your children being baptized. So, tomorrow morning, if they didn't clean their room and they're sinning, you can show them the baptism video, okay? We don't hold records of wrongs, but at least we can show them. A record of death, yes. No one is forced to do this. No one is forced to do this. We're not forcing our kids to do this. I wasn't forced to do this. You decide to agree with God about the effects of the death of his son Jesus. You decide. You decide if you want to follow Jesus with your whole heart. You decide. He says, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. That's what we do. I usually ask two questions. I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin? And the person says, yes. And then the second question will be, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. And upon confession of your own faith, not my faith, not Steve's faith, not the rest of the elders' faith, upon confession of the faith that Jesus has placed within you, that this is a revelation to you, you are now baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your own faith. Nobody forces us. But we say, by faith, Lord, I want to identify with what you have done for me on the cross. We willingly, we gladly, and with joy associate ourselves with the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. So now a question I want to ask is, why underwater? Why full immersion? So my first question I want to ask before I ask that question or answer that question is, who likes rusks and coffee? Hey? Rusks and coffee. Ethan, will you hold this for me? Hold this for me. So, I want to get a lack. You know, you pick a rusk, eh? There's like usually a rusk that you pick, eh? No. So I like to eat my rusk like this. What's wrong? How's it done? How do you do this? Huh? You dunk it. Oh, you dip it. That's it. So you baptize your rusk. There you go. You don't sprinkle it. I'm sorry for those that have been taught a wrong way. But that's how you eat it. So Ethan, there you go, my bro. My children's like, oh my goodness. So the kids that are getting baptized can have rusks. There you go. So let's look at this quickly. The word for baptism in the Greek is baptizo. And it means to dip or dye something, like dipping or immersing a cloth. I actually wanted, but that would have been way more mess than that. So I wanted to bring like a white t-shirt, and when you push it underwater into colorant, and coloring your clothes. I don't know if people still color their clothes, but we used to do that. You know, it was a thing. Tie-dye. We still do tie-dye with the kids, you know. Still do it. So the thing is this, is that that you push it under the water, so it fully takes up everything. And the same word, in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to use the same word for baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like pushing a sponge underwater, and it soaks up all the water. Thank you very much. That is considerate. Thank you. I have coffee all over my fingers. So this is the thing, that baptism is always under the water. Okay, it's not just a bit of a sprinkling. You don't cover a dead body by throwing a few grains of sand on it and think it's dead and now it's buried. No. You dig a deep hole, 6 feet deep, all the way down. I wonder why it's six. Maybe it's flesh that needs to die, eh? We read way too much in that tonight. But let's go with it. Well, going under the water properly symbolizes burial. We don't sprinkle. Just a few grains of sand. See, there's more water. Thank you. And it's hot. Look at this verse in John chapter 3, verse 23. John also was baptizing at Ainon near Salem because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. It wasn't just a little bit of water. It was a lot of water. So find a lot of water. We baptize people in many places. I've seen them in the buck of a digger loader. We've baptized them outside in the, you know, close to a farm in the cribs where the cattle are drinking water, rivers, seas, everywhere, bro. Like baths, full baths, we just put people in and we baptize them. When people say and they realize and that revelation is there in their hearts. So that's the one thing. And I want to say and end with, well, close to ending with, why do we get baptized? Well, Matthew 3, verse 13 to 17. Look at this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Jesus was baptized. You know, when I heard that the first time, that was enough for me. I think so often we're looking for reasons why we get baptized. This is enough for me. Jesus was baptized. I want to follow my Savior. And I want to do as he did. The second thing is, it's a command. Matthew 28, 19. Go into the world. Go into the world and baptize. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's not a suggestion. And the next thing that I want to say to each one of us, it's been a foundational teaching of the church for many, 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 many years. It's not something that is just thought of in the last 50 years. It's a foundational teaching of the early church. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. We're going to do 13. I'm waiting for the days when we're going to do 3,000. Acts chapter 10, verse 47. Then anyone withhold water, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Baptism happened in the early church. And guys, like I said earlier, and we're not going to read Romans 6 again, but I want to encourage you to go read Romans 6 verse 1 to 11. It's an outward confession of what happened inwardly, of what happened in your life. And we identify with Jesus. That's why. And I want to end with an Old Testament story that actually points to baptism. And this is an interesting one, and maybe one that you've never seen. But turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. You're like, oh my goodness, it should be close to the flood. There must be something. Listen, the flood is definitely one. Noah's Ark is definitely one. The crossing of the Jordan is one. The crossing of the Red Sea is one. Even in Genesis, we see it. So it's all over the Old Testament. But look at this one. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 1 to 7. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan. Very important, the Jordan. And each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there. And he answered, go. Then one of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, take it up. So he reached out to his hand and took it. I want to quickly look at some significance of this portion of scripture and how significant it is. Now, when we see things like this in the Old Testament, it always point to the new. It's revealed in the new. Baptism is revealed in the new. And this is the story. If you kind of already seeing some symbolism that's already there, we call this typology. So this is typology. This is a type. Elisha is a type of Jesus in this story, for instance. Asking the question like, where did it fall? Is a type of the same thing that God asked in the Garden of Eden. Where are you, Adam? You see, our sin is heavy. Our sin kills us. And it will bring us down. And it's like heavy iron that is sinking. We're all sinking. We're all dying. We actually, the Bible says, we're not dying, we're dead. We're dead in our trespasses. We're all dead. And here's the amazing thing. How did the offense come in? How did sin enter into the world? From man eating from a tree in the Garden of Eden. God telling them to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they eat from that tree. How did salvation come? On a tree. Paul writes this. He says, did I give you guys that one? That verse. Galatians 3:13. Did you get that one? No. Can we quickly find it? Galatians 3:13. Sorry, guys. Let me go read it. Tell me if it's behind me. Galatians 3:13. Listen to this verse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. This was written in the Old Testament. So Elisha, taking this piece of wood, signifying, symbolizing Jesus' death, and all of a sudden, that axe starts drifting. I mean, it's a metaphysical improbability, man. Can you spell that? It is. Axe don't float. But sin becomes nothing. In Romans chapter 6, we saw that when Christ died for it. Sin has lost its power. In actual fact, it's not just lost its power, it has got no effect on you. It shouldn't have. You shall sin abound where grace abounds even more, certainly not. No, we have the right to say no now to sin. And this is a story that we see in the Old Testament. And it's just showing us a beautiful picture ahead of time of things to come. Of Jesus dying on the cross. For each of us, cursed is he that hangs on a tree. And that piece of wood falling in there, it's very significant. And it's very significant that it happens at the Jordan. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan. We just read that. And there was a lot of water there. We read that as well. So here's the picture out of the Old Testament for each one of us. And actually tonight, before we baptize people, let's just quickly close our eyes. Maybe God's asking each one of you, where did the axe head fall? Maybe he's asking you tonight, Adam, where are you? It's not like God didn't know where Adam was. He knew Adam sinned. He knew Adam and Eve sinned, and they were hiding, and they were trying to hide their own sin, and they tried to find a way. None of us have a way that we can cover our own sin. What we need is the one that hung on a tree. His name is Jesus. We need him. And then that axe head floats. We become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All have become new. We're new creations in Christ. And if you're sitting here tonight, maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you just came to see your grandchild or your nephew or niece or somebody getting baptized. But you're sitting here tonight and you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. This is what all of these little kids say. They've surrendered their lives to Jesus. I want to invite you tonight as you sit here. I want to ask you, have you fully surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you fully accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior tonight. And if you say, Stefan, that's me, I would love that you pray with me tonight. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to lead you in a prayer tonight. Because what you need to do is you need to acknowledge. You need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with your mouth, and you need to believe in your heart. That's all you need to do of what he's done for you. Lord, we want to pray for them right now as they accept you as their Lord and Savior. Tonight, Lord Jesus, that you come and you rescue them out of their sin, that the stick that Elijah threw in there just fell into the water. Father, and tonight they are saved as they call upon the name of the Lord. Those whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And whom the Son sets free tonight is unquestionably free. We thank you for this, Lord. Come and seal this now. Let it not just be an emotional thing, but let it be a heartfelt thing, Lord. And as people pray for them later, Lord, come and solidify and baptize them with your Holy Spirit tonight. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.